Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine at SaverLife.com. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Maybe still eating some leftovers from that meal. And so I wonder what wines you had. Let me know. You can email me, Michael at SaverLife.com. The Splendid Table, splendidtable.org, has an article about Thanksgiving wine pairings. It's called The Perfect American Wine Pairings for the Quintessential American Meal. And you can probably guess why. One of the reasons I'm mentioning this is that Finger Lakes wine is on this list. As Peter Beecraft, the winemaker at Anthony Rhodes, said, we are batting cleanup in this article for this this quintessential American dinner. And the last article, or the last paragraph, says, don't forget the dessert wine. Dry wine left over with sweet food is terrible. So don't just keep drinking the wines from the main course. With dessert, instead switch to something truly American like the late harvest vignoles from Anthony Rhodes Wine Company in the Finger Lakes of New York. The Martini family and winemaker Peter Beecraft make fantastic Rieslings and a variety of cool climate whites and reds, but this wine is a real specialty. Vignoles is mainly grown in the U.S., and Anthony Rhodes makes fruity, balanced, late-harvest vignoles that has a peachy and pineapple notes with excellent acidity to make them a perfect complement to pumpkin, apple, or pecan pie. And this kind of late-harvest wine sold in half-size bottles. And late-harvest is often far less expensive than ice wine, for example. And that's because there's far more risk with ice wine. You have to leave it out until it freezes naturally, and that can be any time. But it's risky. Yeah, it might freeze Christmas Eve, it might freeze in January, it might freeze in February, sometimes in November. It's very unpredictable. And that's where late harvest wines are far more predictable. Usually harvest them in November. So they've stayed out there an extra month or maybe two, depending on the wine. And it's really, late harvest are a great value, tremendous value. So you should go in search of them. Anthony Rhodes makes a really excellent one. So, and again, just a really great value. And they are also selling the Bravery wines that I spoke about last week. This is a new brand in the Finger Lakes, created by a veteran and his wife, Corey and Jennifer Christman. And they launched this on Veterans Day, and portion of the proceeds go to benefit the veterans' causes, the Yellow Ribbon Fund in particular. So they've got a number of wines, and the reason it's on Anthony Rhodes' website is that he collaborated with Peter Beecraft and used the grapes from the Martini Vineyards. So it's really just a cool idea, and again, those wines are available through Anthony Rhodes' website, or you can look them up and order them directly through Vino Shipper. Anthony Rhodes has a lot of different wines, and you should experiment and try them, but the Vignoles, that one of Double Gold, in the 2017 New York Wine and Food Classic, which is the biggest competition in New York State, and it's only $15 per bottle. It's really a great bargain. Again, this is Vignoles in general is a great bargain. So actually, that's the $15 is the regular bottle of Vignoles. The late harvest one that was talked about in this article is $24 per bottle, and it's a half size bottle. But again, that is generally significantly cheaper than ice wine is. And vignoles, I think I've interviewed Peter Beecraft about it. There's something about the grape that just works beautifully with dessert wines, and just makes a fantastic finish to a meal. You don't need to have dessert. This can be used in place of dessert if you just want. And you don't drink a full glass of this. Late harvest and ice wine, dessert wines in general, you drink, a quarter glass. I mean, it's really a small amount relative to regular wine. And the flavors are just extraordinary. And in some ways, you get to taste them even more when they're just on their own and not served with dessert. It might be great with cheese. Doesn't need to be with dessert. Or just on its own. The other thing is that late harvest, because it's high in sugar, will hold in the refrigerator for a longer period. So you can have just a couple of tablespoons, in essence, each night for quite a while. And a half bottle at that rate will go fairly far. They also have an older vintage of vignoles. They're Martini Select vignoles. That one is $65 per bottle. And again, it has a little bit of age for 4 or 5 years. And the Martini Beecraft are grapes that show just huge promise. And it's kind of their way of doing a reserve wine. But the word reserve has lost a lot of meaning when, Kendall Jackson has a reserve Chardonnay that they make millions of cases of, and they're not the only example of reserve wines that are, they're probably good, they're probably better than the regular wine, but are they, what does that really mean? So Anthony Rode uses the Martini Beecraft, as before with a previous winemaker, Martini Reinhardt series. If you have any of those in your cellar, those are probably pretty extraordinary wines. Johannes Reinhardt was their previous winemaker. He has not gone far. He actually moved across the street, literally, from Anthony Rode, bought some land, built a small winery and vineyard. It's Kemeter Wines, K-E-M-M-E-T-E-R. That's Johannes Reinhardt. And by the way, he's the first chapter in the Summer in a Glass book by Evan Dawson, which you should read. It's been out a few years. It is still perfectly relevant and fascinating to read while drinking some of these wines. So, and by the way, Kemeter Wines has launched a dumpling business and a sort of dumpling tiny restaurant there. You need to check their website for hours and things, but they are... I'm dying to get down for these dumplings. They look amazing. I've heard from a number of real foodies that have been down, and these are some extraordinary dumplings that they just added that maybe a year ago at Kemeter Wines. So that is directly across the street from Anthony Rode. And again, the late harvest vignoles highlighted just recently by the Splendid Table. And one of the cool things about that article, the Splendid Table article, there's a Cabernet Franc from the Russian River Valley. There's a paragraph about each of these. There's also actually a Riesling from Napa Valley, of all places, Spring Mountain, so probably planted fairly high up on the mountain. And I think one of the reasons they were selected here, the article says, if your meal has a spicy kick to it, this wine will rise to the challenge. Stu and Charlie Smith of Smith Madrone have made wine for 40 years in Napa, but this year's been tough. The winery nearly burned down in the fires, so they could use our support. But the first wine as part of this meal, again, the quintessential American meal, is they suggest a dry sparkling wine method champenoise from Virginia, the Afton Mountain Bolachin from the Monticello AVA of Virginia. And their winemaker says is from Beaujolais and raved about the wines. And this was, I thought, fascinating. It is very unusual to have any other state mentioned in a national article that, except for ones that are, you know, writing about obscure wines that you should look for, very unusual to have another state other than California, Oregon, Washington, and New York mentioned. And occasionally Michigan, occasionally New Mexico with Gruet, or I forget what the winery is in Idaho. There are a couple little examples, but I thought it was kind of cool to see this sparkling wine from Virginia mentioned in the article. I don't know if you can get it shipped to you. I guess you probably could. And so two things about it. One, interesting that they have a French winemaker. And again, a lot of wine lovers will just, or not a lot, but a significant number of wine lovers might just automatically dismiss wines from any other state other than California, Washington, Oregon, and New York. But there are some tremendous wines being made in Ohio and Massachusetts and Virginia and North Carolina, across the country. There are wineries that we won't see on shelves probably ever in wine shops, but when you're traveling, and that'll be easier after a pandemic, just because you haven't heard of wineries and you didn't realize these states produced wine, you should still visit and try these wines. They wrapped up the Finger Lakes International Wine Competition online wine auction where you could have purchased some of these wines from other states. That's all finished, but next year you might want to take part in that. I remember probably 10 years ago in the Finger Lakes International Wine Competition, there was a port-style wine which was made with rhubarb. So it was a fortified wine, and it was made with rhubarb, and it was just amazing. I do love fruit wines that really taste like the fruit, and this one was spectacular. And they can't ship them because there are limitations on shipping any alcohol levels over what wine is. So you get above 16% alcohol. And I don't know if it's a nationwide or state rules, I'm not sure, but shipping's more difficult. So I couldn't get any more from them after tasting at the competition. But just crazy, crazy chance. And this winery is from North Dakota. I happen to be in North Dakota, visiting an area my father grew up in, and driving to the airport, and I totally had forgotten about the competition in this winery in North Dakota. I should have remembered, but I wasn't thinking about it when I went out there. We're driving to the airport to leave North Dakota and see this sign for a winery. And it's like Maple River Winery. That sounds like that winery is in the competition. So we had enough time. We got off the highway, went to the winery, and it was the one. You can't make this stuff up. It was just the strangest thing that we happened to drive by the sign for the winery. It was a couple miles away from the highway on our way to the airport from a different city in North Dakota. And so I was able to get a couple wines to bring on the plane back. And still haven't consumed those. They'll hold very well. It's going to be a very special occasion to taste those. But again, there's some fantastic wines, not necessarily, you know, in this case it was a fruit wine, but not necessarily grape wines, but there are fantastic wines being made across the United States. And the other thing to mention about this is that Virginia, North Carolina, Michigan, Ohio, they are spending a lot of money to try to catch up to the Finger Lakes and to get the recognition, the accolades, the respect that the Finger Lakes has. And we can't take it for granted that we are going to be the best-known wine region east of the Rockies forever. There are other states that have hundreds of wineries. I think a lot of people don't realize how many wineries are in these states. Hundreds in Ohio, hundreds in Virginia, and hundreds in North Carolina. I haven't looked at recent figures, but they have at least half as many wineries as we do here in New York, and a lot of money is going into them. And in this case, the winery from Virginia, a French winemaker, and it's really, it's fascinating to see what's happening in these other states. Also, maybe you've seen the Finger Lakes Wine Gazette, a newspaper that comes out quarterly, has been around for a couple of decades. Well, they also print a Virginia Wine Gazette. And the only reason I know that is they send them to me occasionally just because I'm in wine media. But it's a big business in these other states. Pennsylvania also. So again, we can't rest on the laurels. And I think the winemakers aren't. The wineries are not. And the wineries in New York State and the Finger Lakes are not resting on their laurels at all. But those of us that promote the region, those of us that just enjoy the wines in the region and want to boost our home team, you know, the holidays is a perfect time to do that. By sending wine, by buying wine as gifts, they can ship to many, many states. And you are sending a taste of our region, as I've said many times. But it also is, you know, what's going to keep New York as the best wine region east of the Rockies is by those of us that enjoy the wines and live here, promoting them and, you know, actively taking part in the marketing of these wines. And you may not want to send a case to someone. That's relatively expensive, although there are some free shipping deals. There are some case deals that are available right now at many of the wineries. But you can send a single bottle. I mean, a single bottle of the Late Harvest Vignoles from Anthony Road would be pretty inexpensive to ship. It's, as I said, $24 a bottle. And it's what a cool gift. I would love to get one of those in the mail. It doesn't need to be a case of wine. Again, just maybe one unique wine. A couple of wines, you could send a pack of three. A lot of wineries have some really nice boxes for three wines. You get a white, a red, a sparkling wine, or a dessert wine. You know, if you know someone really loves red wines, maybe three different reds from that winery. So again, if we want to stay the best known wine region east of the Rockies, we need to work on it, because these other states are working on it. I guarantee that they are marketing and in some cases spending more money to market their wines at the state level than New York State is. So in the holidays, ideal time to ship some wine, especially if you're not going to be spending Christmas or the holidays in general with a family you usually do. Send them a taste of the Finger Lakes and a taste of New York. You know, Arrowhead Spring Vineyards ships to like 30-plus states. They have some really delicious, very rich reds, in particular, slightly warmer climate there in just north of Lockport, and they have some really, I think, surprisingly rich reds, reminiscent of a warmer climate, maybe a little closer to some of the California wines, although not that extreme in terms of warm climate and high alcohol, but really rich, delicious reds at Arrowhead Spring Vineyards. So if you want some suggestions, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Also, wanted to mention this spotted lanternfly. I didn't get into it last Sunday. I talked about some last Saturday on the Food and Finger Lakes shows, but and I have to say one of the reasons I didn't mention it was I didn't want to cast a pall over Thanksgiving, and I talked about it enough on Saturday that I just kind of had to personally take a break from it. And I've talked about the spotted lanternfly over the last several months. The bad news that arrived about a week ago is that egg clusters and several adults, I guess, have been found in Ithaca in the Fall Creek neighborhood, which is just down the hill from Cornell and right in town. It's actually very close to the thing, the piggery and the Ithaca Farmers Market. At the same time as hearing this, or maybe it was just after watching a webinar from Penn State, an update on the spotted lanternfly in Pennsylvania, which was it was a devastating webinar because they really laid out the degree the degree of challenge in trying to control this insect at all. It seems like every life stage it gives you kind of the worst case scenario. The egg clusters are often 30 to 60 feet up in the tree. You just can't find them at that level. They actually tried using binoculars, high power binoculars. Couldn't really find them using those. And these are leafhoppers. They're not flies, actually. They're called a lanternfly, but they're actually leafhoppers. And so every life stage is, except the eggs, every life stage is very mobile. And even the little ones can hop and jump and move a lot. And they've done some fascinating research on trying to track how they're moving, how fast they're moving. And they're moving to such a degree that it's going to be very hard to find them once they hatch out of egg cases that we haven't identified. They will climb down the tree, but then they go on to other trees and into vegetable gardens and roses. And that's the other thing. These spotted lanternflies feed on almost anything. They've found something like 70 different species of trees, shrubs, and annuals and perennials that these leafhoppers will eat, and they suck the it's not the nectar out of the flowers. They're actually going right into the plant stem and sucking out the sugars that the plants move up and down. And so they have several life stages starting in roughly May of these juveniles that just hop around, and then maybe some point in July the adults emerge, which can fly not really well. In fact, they tend to crash land, I guess, but they can fly, and they showed photos of them climbing to very quickly to the top of trees that are 40 to 60 feet high, which is where they lay their eggs. But then when they're up there, then they jump off and fly from there. And so that gives them ability to go further, since they're not great flyers, but they can fly. And there's a bunch of other things that are going to make this very hard to control. So it's rather devastating news that an infestation, not just an adult or, the sort of the odd insect that might have arrived from Pennsylvania, where they are wreaking havoc, millions of dollars of damage in Pennsylvania to vineyards in particular, this appears to be a infestation. They've laid eggs in Ithaca, and each of those egg masses has 30 to 50 eggs in it, only about an inch long, which is why they're so hard to spot. And we are in deep trouble. Cornell's doing some research on how to control this using some bacterium that have been found to kill them naturally. So this is not being introduced from anywhere else. It's bacterium that's here. They're just trying to figure out how to use it. And these lanternflies are so mobile that it's hard to treat them with anything, with traditional pesticides. So there was one winery that said that they went from, it was like 4 pesticide applications a year that they use in general, and this is again in Pennsylvania, to 14. And they still can't control this insect. They keep flying in from the trees around the vineyards, and there's just millions of them. And not only are they killing the grapevines, but they also create sooty mold that grows on the ground. If they're in trees over steps or patios, the ground will turn black with this sooty mold from their excrement, which is a honeydew, kind of like aphids leave for scale insects. And that sooty mold creates its own problems for a vineyard or backyard garden. It's really this webinar. I haven't been able to find a link. It's got to be available somewhere. I can't find a link to it to share. But there's plenty of other webinars out there, not as recent as this, with as much of the recent research. So if you are interested, when I find it, I can email it to you. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. But again, spotted lanternfly, we'd hope to have a few years before this kind of thing, before it showed up in some numbers and egg masses were found. It appears we no longer have any more time, and we're going to have to be more vigilant to try to limit it until Cornell or some other source comes up with some way to control them beyond just pesticides, which are not working. They're killing lots of lanternflies. It's just not reducing the infestation enough and not limiting the damage enough. So, again, very, very sobering news. Ithaca Voice had an article about the initial find of, I think, an adult. And the Democrat and Chronicle, Steve Orr, had an article about a week ago talking more about the fact that it actually was perhaps an infestation, the eggs have been laid. And, they had a nice photo of what to look for, though they are probably done for the season. The adults die when we get some severe cold, and then it's the eggs that will emerge next spring. If you want any of those links, email me, michael@saverlife.com. In a year where you have a pandemic, I was kind of thinking, this insect is going to show up because it's 2020. And I did weeks of scouting around the Finger Lakes. Did not make it to Ithaca, but it's unlikely I would have found it in Ithaca. I mean, there's only so much scouting you can do. And it turns out that I had been just scouting the Tree of Heaven, Allianthus, that they actually like black walnuts as well. And I know there were a lot of black walnuts I didn't scout because I was so focused on the Tree of Heaven. So I did not find any, and I went to most of the towns and villages in the Finger Lakes, but Ithaca seems to be the epicenter of them right now. Again, feel free to email me questions, comments, suggestions, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back next Saturday with gardening, restaurants, and Discover the Finger Lakes starting 9 a.m. on Saturday. Have a wonderful day, and again, enjoy the beautiful weather. What a great, what a stunning day. And just one note, final note, the Brighton Farmers Market has limited its hours starting today. It's 10 to 11:30. That'll continue through the Sunday before Christmas. So just an hour and a half that it's open, partly because it's usually colder than 55 here at the end of November. And so they were planning on colder weather. And of course, we get warm weather, relatively warm weather. So a beautiful day to go over to the Brighton Farmers Market. Again, 10 to 11:30, reduced hours start today. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.